few months, we had a number of meetings where we, what are we doing in prayer? And we felt actually this is something you've always got to be on, something you need to constantly to review. So what have we done? Well, we've looked at prayer. We love this concept of rhythms and seasons. Rhythms, these are things like Rich was talking about for chapter one, things that we're doing consistently, we're doing regularly, daily or weekly, and seasons, things that we do in bursts, things that we do from time to time. And we've looked at, well, how are we doing in terms of our prayer life in the church, corporately, when we come together as larger groups of people? What are we doing as an eldership team to set a good spiritual temperature in the church for prayer? How can we assist and equip small groups? And how are we building up individuals to be consistent in prayer, both in terms of the rhythms, the daily stuff, and in terms of the seasons of what we do as a church? And this is the way we've been thinking, four levels on in two key areas of rhythms and seasons. And we've noticed that the Bible's quite clear that we should devote ourselves to prayer. I mean, Rich read Acts 2:42. This is at the birth of the church. They devoted themselves to prayer. And then Paul, just do a concordance search on devote and devoted. And he often refers to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Hopefully we can see that's built into chapter one. But even our sexual conduct, if you like, it's, bear in mind you've got to be praying. And devote yourselves to prayer. Now, so the question is, what is devotion? Well, I think devotion is a head commitment with a heart connection. It's two things. You can't devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching unless you know what it is. So it's an informed affection. It is both head commitment, heart connection. Something you do because you are committed, you've made a decision, but something you do because it grips your heart and it changes you. And that's what prayer should do. And there was an Australian speaker, I can't remember his name. John will probably remember his name because John was there. He was from Australia and he spoke about when they as a family, so he lived in Australia, he wasn't originally from there, was he from Singapore or... Lord bless John with a good memory. Me with a better one as well. And he spoke that when as a family they went out, they went for a day out, the first thing they put in the boot of the car was what was called an Esky, which is a cool box, Australian for a cool box. Steve Chong. Where's he from? Originally? I know he's from Australia, but he wasn't born there. Singapore, I think it was. And so the first thing they do is they go and they put the Esky in the boot. They put the cool box in the boot of the car. Why? Because the cool box has got everything that you need to sustain you and feed you and nourish you and refresh you. And he said, our lives as Christians should be like, what do we put in first in our lives? And if we're going to be devoted to prayer, it's something we prioritize. It's something that goes in first. And that's what they did in the New Testament. So if we're going to follow New Testament guidance on prayer, what does greater devotion to prayer, what could it look like for us on those four levels? Well, I think devotion requires sacrifice. You know, prayer is one of those things that should inconvenience us. But also prayer in a healthy way. It should be appropriately challenging. It should be appropriately inconvenient. And it should involve fasting from time to time, which is why we've done the prayer with fasting every 2 years in the summer. So Acts 13, verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord spoke. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. There's something that God blesses when we put ourselves out to pray. And I don't like fasting. I've got to fess up here. I really don't like it. I'm gluten and dairy free. I have a quirky diet. When I don't eat, my blood sugar levels are all over the place and my family suffers because I am grumpy and moody, even more so than normal. But I have noticed something that I tend to do, I have done on Connect, something called Jesus and Healing. And sadly, I've noticed that when I fast, God does more. Straight area of delivery, isn't it? Duh. I notice that actually in the area of deliverance, God delivers people more when I fast. And God gives me more prophetic words when I fast. Do you know, I love the outcome of fasting, but I just don't like the process of it. And we have to think as a church, where do we fit in godly inconvenience? You know, like the cool box going in, it goes in first, and it might mean that other things can't go around it. Well, that's the nature of prayer. And I was thinking back to 1993. Before this place was built, we used to meet once a month as a church. And we would fast once a month. Where you traveled from venue to venue, Reggie Gove Center in the center of the town. We were in St. John's Hall next door, various places. And we prayed for this. We prayed for a move of the Holy Spirit. This is 1993. Did we know how the Spirit was going to move? No. Did we know when the Holy Spirit was going to move? No. Do we know what the effect of the Holy Spirit moving would be? No. But we prayed and fasted. And then we stopped, and then we got on with life. And then in June 1994, we were hit by the Toronto blessing. Wow. 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 If you don't know about it, there is a history of the King's Church. Read about what happened to the church, the Toronto blessing. God's joy, God's peace. It transformed our perspective of who God was and what he could do. And actually, I think it's partly the reason I work full-time for the church is God's joy and peace and power and scariness are all wonderfully blended together. You couldn't stand up in our meetings. The presence of God was so powerful. What preceded it? Prayer and fasting. Funny that, isn't it? Did we know how he was going to move? No. But God blessed it. Did we know that this was going to be something that was an international movement? Bless this nation, bless many other nations. Not a clue. There's something powerful about being devoted to prayer and fasting. So what are we doing? Well, I think we've already started on our journey in terms of reshaping our prayer. And we did this a few years ago when we went to Termly sign-ups for small groups. One thing that we looked at when John and I went out to the church in Evanston in Chicago is they told us, you'll have more prayer. Because if you allow people to lead groups that they want to lead, some people, the intercessors in the church, love to pray. And you'll release more prayer in the church. We've seen that. I just looked at this term, small group guide. What have we got? Dedicated to prayer alone. There are loads of other groups, and I know you pray. So Wycombe Wanderers Chaplaincy support. Prayer for Hazelmere. Hazelmere gets lots of prayer, if you notice. Prayer for the sexually exploited. I'm so proud of my wife doing that work with Azalea. You are a star, Catherine. You've done such a good job. I can say that. You are my wife, but you've done a great job. Prayer for the sexually exploited. See them out of sexual exploitation. What's God going to do? I don't know, but it's going to be powerful. Prayer for change. King's Table, a ministry to help those with life-controlling addictions. Hazelmere Evening Prayer Group, prayer team training. They're just the things we're doing this term. In previous terms, we've run the prayer course. We've had plenty of other prayer groups. I've forgotten them. Forgive me. And I know other groups, you do tons of prayer as well. And then we've got the chapter one prayer experience. And what we haven't worked out yet, and we will work out, is how do we distill the benefits of that prayer experience so that all the small groups can access that termly, a two-hour prayer experience. We're still working on that. So I think we've started on this. But what about corporate prayer? Well, we've discussed as elders, what we would love to do is we'd love to use the sign-up months, the months when the small groups aren't meeting, to be more strategic and more intentional. And what we would like to do, there are three suggestions on the slide. We would like to do one of those once a year. So for instance, a half night of corporate prayer once a year, and then 3 days of corporate prayer and fasting. Yes, sign us up for that. It'll be powerful, though, once a year. And then 4 weeks of corporate prayer with fasting. And we're going to start that with our vision series. John's going to talk about this after the break in September. And that will be in addition to the 7 weeks of prayer and fasting that we tend to do every other year in the summer. By the way, the reason we run that in the summer is it's so much easier to get big-hitting external speakers. You try and get them other times of the year, you can't get them. So we found that a very fruitful time, and it's a really good time to be out in the evenings anyway with a long night. So that's why we tend to run those in the summer. So that's what we want to do in terms of corporate prayer, and we're going to start this in after the summer in September. So one of these intentionally in the sign-up months to gather together corporately to pray for what we're doing as a church corporately. But the other things we'd like to do, we really want to cover our Sundays with prayer every single week. We would like to do this. We would like to pray for the worship, for the preaching, for the meeting leaders, for visitors coming, for our kids' work, for our youth, and any other major event that's coming up that we want to saturate that more with prayer. And so we're looking at whether we do that on a Sunday morning itself or a midweek morning. I think we go more to the midweek morning. We think that might work for people. We'd like to start after the May half term. So if you're interested, I just realized, John, could you do me a massive favor? Upstairs in my office are the sign-up sheets. I forgot to bring them down in the excitement of the morning. So if you could just go to my office, I'll just place them on the tables at the back. I'd really appreciate that. Sorry, I forgot to do that. If you're interested in being part of, I'd like to be part of a prayer group that prays for what we do every week. I know you might not be able to come every week. I appreciate that. I'd just like you to register your interest. The reason is we'd love to have a chat with you about that. I'd love to meet with you separately from this morning and just talk about what we're thinking, what might work, get your views as well, and then sort of shape something based on that conversation. The other thing we'd like to do is we'd like to feed into the small groups when they're running a prayer point per term, a prayer point per week, something you could pray into for the Sunday. So, for example, if we were feeding a prayer point from Easter Sunday, we might ask the small groups, might ask you to pray for visitors that they would be receptive to the gospel, something like that, something that's relevant and pertinent to the Sunday that's coming up. The reason we like to do that is we just like more prayer for our Sundays. We'd like to see more people saved. We'd like the Holy Spirit to move in even greater impact and power whenever we meet. And having the groups praying, we feel, would be so powerful. But we're trying to make it easy. So one prayer point we would suggest to you and feed with you, and we'd email that to you as leaders. And we're planning to do that after the May half-term break. Still reviewing what we do with the eldership. I mentioned we're still reviewing how the chapter one prayer experience could be accessible to the small groups, how we can use chapter one to bring good rhythms of personal prayer as well. But I'm mindful of Acts 4:31. It says this. This is after Peter and John, they appeared before the Sanhedrin. They came back and reported to the church their conversation and what God had done. It said this: after they, that's the church, prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, I've been thinking, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I don't just think that means the room. I think that means the whole town and the city. It was shaken. It was never the same again. Why? Because they prayed. And then look, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What else would we want to be filled with other than the Holy Spirit? The power and the joy, the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke the word of God boldly. Wow, don't we want to do that? Don't we want to do that as a church? And that's why we're reviewing what we do corporately and on all those four levels as a church. So if you're interested, I'd like to be part of the conversation of how we cover our Sundays and our key events with prayer every week. Could you please sign up? The sign-up sheets are there now, aren't they, John? Thank you. Pens are available at the back, two tables at the back. Please sign up. We're going to have a break now. We'd love to talk with you and shape something around that conversation. Can you see me, Andrew? Just grab me in the coffee break. That would be great. Okay, I'm mindful of time. So we've got a quarter of an hour break now. After the break, we're going to hear about vision. Where are we going as a church? Where is the eldership? We've had a long conversation as an eldership in terms of what we are doing. What's the vision of the church? Where are we going next? John's going to unpack that after the break, and we're going to pray.